appreciated prayers that others of you have offered these past few days heading toward this morning. There has been very little time to work on a sermon. It's been wall-to-wall meetings. So may God speak through the words that I trust He's given me. We are in a summertime series on the topic of neighboring. What it is to be a neighbor. Who are our neighbors? Are they just the people across the street, or just people who look like us, or people who we like? Who are our neighbors, and how is it that we are to be good neighbors? And as I've said on other Sundays, biblically, meaning in Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, the word for neighbors simply means another person. Just another person whose life you and I can impact for good or for ill. There are no other qualifications on neighbor, no other limited narrowing details. A neighbor is simply another person whose life you and I can impact for good or for ill. And it's hard, isn't it, to figure out this stuff of living together in all the complexities of life with all the variety of people and issues and things that come up. It's challenging enough in our own homes, with our families, and with our friends, where we already have a foundation and historic commitments to each other. It's hard enough to live together like this. With them, there's that basic understanding and hope that whatever it is that comes up, we can work through this. We will make it through this. And it doesn't always work out. We know that. Some parents and children, or siblings, or in-laws, or friends get estranged and quit talking and quit investing. Some marriages blow up. Some families become strangers. And this is among people where through family biology and through shared experience or through vows, there's already a common ground and a common understanding and common commitments. But still, it didn't or it isn't working out. So the ante really goes up, doesn't it? When we add to the mix people who are really different than us. Different values, different lifestyles, different ethnicity, different language, different faith, different political views. Add these and wow, we have got a mix that can be explosive. And it's a huge challenge to be neighbors, much less good neighbors. Some of you may remember a book that was written about 30 years ago by Robert Fulghum, titled All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. It was on the bestseller list for like 2 years. The premise of the book is that the basic things that were taught as kids, many of them really apply to our life as adults, if only we would carry through with them. Here's a couple of the basic things that Robert Fulghum wrote that he learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and milk are good for you. I learned a lot of those. You probably did too. You heard them from your parents or from teachers. These are important basic rules for life, which if from kindergarten into adulthood, if we all carried them forward, things would be so much different. Share everything. Play fair. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that don't belong to you. From everything I found out about Robert Fulghum, he is not a follower of Jesus, and he didn't write this book from a basis of faith. It's more like a collection of humorous essays about sociology. And on a horizontal level, between you and me and everybody else, this is a good way to live. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Say sorry if you hurt somebody. So how cool then that we have a much fuller, richer, deeper, compelling input about good ways to live coming to us, not just horizontally, but vertically. Not horizontally from a best-selling author trying to make a point and to sell books, but vertically from God, the author of creation, the creator of our very beings, the one who designed how life works the best. God designed it. God knows. And we can find this code of conduct, these best practices for living throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. So listen again to some of what we've already heard today. From God to us. From Jeremiah 6:16. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you'll find rest for your souls. But how this continues, which we didn't hear earlier, is this. But you said we will not walk in it. Ouch. And this from the prophet Micah. Words that we have painted on the wall inside the south entrance of the building. God has shown you, O people, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. And then the Beatitudes from Matthew 5. I won't read them all. But in them are these. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what is right in the eyes of God. Who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. For they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called what? Children of God. And now listen to the words of God given to us from Exodus 23:1-9. Words given to the people of Israel by God through Moses, these best practices for living. And understand that this is just a very thin slice. Listen to these words. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to the poor in a lawsuit. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help your enemy with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twists the words of the righteous. Do not oppress a foreigner. For you yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have before us this huge treasury of words. Wise, compelling, challenging, life-changing, life-blessing words given to us from God who created all of life, including our lives and our life together, and who knows how we can do this thing called life, how to be good neighbors, and how to be loving neighbors, even when we don't want to love some particular person or people. And a beautiful thing about all that we find in Scripture about being neighbors and being in life together with others, A beautiful thing is that God's Word is so very, very consistent. It's the same basic thread coming again and again, no matter who it is who intersects our life, no matter who it is we meet on the road or the sidewalk or the grocery store or at school or wherever, no matter who moves into our neighborhood or our field of vision in whatever way, God says, show love. Show mercy. Show grace. Open your eyes, open your hearts, open your hands, open your lives to others, especially the ones you might otherwise roll away from. Love your neighbor as yourself. It reminds me of what Pastor Alex G. said one time in a sermon. He's the pastor at a Covenant Church in Madison, Wisconsin. He talked about advice he was given by a counselor in a very conflicted setting where he was in conflict with somebody else. And there was every powerful impulse in him to walk up and get out, to move away, to stop this dialogue. And the counselor told him and the other person, scoot closer. Scoot closer. And that's become a life theme for Pastor Alex G. When there's an impulse to move apart, to turn away, to turn your head, to fist your hands, to shut your heart, clench your jaws, move closer, scoot closer. Scoot closer. It'd do us well for us all to put that into practice, wouldn't it? Scoot closer. But we know how things go in this world. We know how things are right now. As our outgoing denominational president, Gary Walters, said at the annual meeting, our society is in a woeful spot right now. There is regressing and fracturing over and over and over again, pitting one group against another, causing tremendous pain and suffering, especially for those who are marginalized and without power to defend themselves. And another leader, Dick Lucco, he said there are a lot of painful things in this world that God wants us to be concerned about. Not just to know about, but to be concerned about. And one of our newly elected leaders, Reverend Lance Davis, who will oversee all Covenant pastors, he shared a brief reflection from his childhood. He's African-American, and as a boy, he and his family lived close by a white neighborhood. And his mother warned him again and again, don't go into that white neighborhood. It's dangerous. Do not go there. But one day, he and a friend, as little boys, did what you and I might have done when something is labeled as off limits. They got on their bikes and went riding through this neighborhood. 10-year-old boys. He didn't go into much detail. But he said that he and his friend almost died at the hands of an angry white mob because they were black little boys riding through a white neighborhood. Can you imagine this? I can't, not personally, as a 10-year-old boy riding my bike on the east side of St. Paul. Not in my experience. But Lance Davis can. He almost died, all because he rode his bike in the wrong neighborhood. And far be it from us to naively think that that was just an outlier. And far be it from us to think that that isn't happening today as well in all kinds of other variations. There is suffering and injustice and people with little power being manhandled by people with a lot of power. We have children and parents who have been separated at our southern border. And wherever you are politically, and I don't in any way mean to go political with this, but how can our hearts not break? When we hear the crying, or see the pictures, or hear the words of desperation from moms wondering where their babies are and when they'll get them back. Any of us with children or grandchildren or who have children in our lives, we know that we would walk through fire and a hail of bullets for those kids. Well, so would all these other people. So let's not turn away. Let's not harden our hearts to this or just politicize it. This or anything else that's unjust and that carries suffering that perpetuates injustice toward others. Instead, let's hold on to God's Word. And the biblical reality that whether it's someone up close and personal or someone far away who we just see on a screen, they are our neighbors. And God's Word is so very, very consistent. Show love, show mercy, show grace. Open your eyes, open your hearts, open your hands, open your lives. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then add to this the words of Pastor Alex G. Scoot closer. Listen again to the last words from Exodus 23 that I read this morning. Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt. Foreigner. While it obviously means somebody from another place of birth, another ethnicity or culture or language, it also simply means someone who is different than us in whatever way. We use that phrase about things that are foreign to us. Like for me, playing the piano is foreign. Or computer programming or video games. They're foreign to me. They're not in my orbit. So it is with people. Especially people who are different from us. We don't know them. And we don't understand them. And we might find what they do to be offensive or odd or wrong, and our impulse can be to scoot away. Avoid. And with that can come assumptions and the tendency to talk badly and to make judgments. And we all do this. And then to wall ourselves off from them, even without making any attempt at being a neighbor, much less a good neighbor. The very thing that God so deeply desires all of us to be in this world. Good, loving neighbors. I'll share one more thing from the annual meeting and then close. Reverend Stephanie Williams O'Brien is the pastor at Mill City Church right downtown Minneapolis. And she was just ordained last night. This is a church that is going full speed in showing care and love and compassion and mercy. They're pursuing justice in their downtown neighborhood that is so filled with such a mixture of people. Yesterday she shared that one of the things that the women from her church do is they go to a downtown strip club to build relationships with the women who are working there. Some of whom are likely being trafficked. Rather than showing disgust at an ugly business, they go in and they show up with love. Up close and personal love. Rather than lobbying to have a place like that shut down, which would uproot these women to go to another club. They're going in through the doors and they're getting to know these women and the bouncers and the bartenders. And she said they're going into that place with the love of Jesus because Jesus Himself has given them the authority and the assignment to do so. Just like He's given it to us. He said, all authority, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, that word nations, in Greek, the word is ethnos, from which we get the word ethnic, which can sometimes be reinterpreted as foreign. Go and make disciples of all foreigners, of all people who are foreign to you. What you and I are invited to do by the creator and designer of life, the one who knows how things should work and how they work the very best for everyone, what you and I are invited into by Jesus, who in giving us new life also gives power to us and gives authority to us to do things that might otherwise seem outrageous and very foreign. including with people who are very foreign to us. Like the Mill City Church women who are going into that club to bring the love of Jesus to these women and to the other people working there. Like Alex G's words, scoot closer when everything in us wants to scoot away and wall off. Like Lance Davis, whose love for people, including white people, has only deepened despite that white mob experience when he was 10 years old. What you are invited into, you and I are invited into by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is this: to show love, to show mercy, to show grace, to open our eyes and our ears, our hands, our hearts, our lives to the people around us, especially to the ones we might naturally just want to roll away from. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that you were once a foreigner. Scoot closer. And when, by the grace of Jesus, we lean more and more in that very direction, only God knows the amazing, challenging, wild, and recklessly loving things that we will be a part of that will benefit both us and our neighbors, whoever they might be. And all the glory, all the praise, all the thanks goes not to us, but to God through Jesus Christ. So who will you pray about? Who will you pray for God to open you up to? What foreign, distant, different, odd, maybe even offensive, completely other person might God be leading your life toward to share the love of Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would continue to move powerfully in us with your love that is so deep and strong, with your presence and with your authority moving in our lives. Give us the humility and boldness simply to be loving, to be including, to scoot closer, and to be the neighbors that you desire us to be. We commit ourselves and the people on our right and left and in front and back of us into your hands, praying that you would do powerful things, all for your glory. In Jesus' name.